Of Acts, same author, same audience, for a particular reason. And that had to do explain who Jesus was and who these people were that followed him and who the people were who put him on the cross and how it developed after he rose from the dead. That's the book of Acts. And in that book, the apostles play a bigger role. And then there's a new apostle named Paul who ends up in prison in Rome awaiting trial. And Theophilus has something to do with that trial. Luke is explaining the whole background for him to understand. Now, Luke is a Greek writer. He is a Western thinker who thinks more like you and I. So there's some things in here that we can relate to. And he has put together a section that is very unique. We call it the Lucan section that we're in right now, that has materials that no other writer, Matthew or Mark and Luke and John, don't have. So they are very important to his purpose. We've talked about how important it is to know when the scene changes, when Jesus starts a dialogue or a monologue, and when he ends it, and when something else changes. Well, Luke has strung together three chapters, and it started back in chapter 15, this whole section that we're going to end this morning. It talked about the fact that he was getting heat for being with tax collectors and sinners from the Jewish religious leaders, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees. And that set out those three stories that the three parables, right? The lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. And then it moved into what you do with money. We had the parable of the shrewd manager. And then 2 weeks ago, we looked at this story, this idea that Jesus says, even if someone comes back from the dead, they're still not going to listen to him, which explains to Theophilus why these people still didn't respond after Jesus was raised from the dead, why they're still giving the apostles problems, and why Paul is in prison. Without changing the scene, we have this section of Scripture in Luke chapter 17. Unless I find my glasses, we are without hope. I'll have to turn around and read it with you guys. Okay, wait, I found them. Good news. Okay. In Luke chapter 17, without changing the scene, it says, Jesus said to his disciples, his followers, things that cause people to sin are bound to come, but woe to that person through whom they come. It would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around his neck than for him to be cause one of these little ones to sin. So watch yourselves. Okay, so there's some interesting things going on here. Who are the little ones? I mean, either we're talking a situation where children are with Jesus again, or it's a situation where some of the sinners and tax collectors, I don't know. I think it's children. But he has not changed the scene. So these things that cause people to sin, and what has Jesus just been talking about? Riches. Riches, our attitude towards money, our tendency to envy the wealthy, to think that God has blessed them, to want that kind of power, to want that kind of comfort, to want that kind of stuff. This is important to the apostles, by the way, who he's talking to. There are other texts that we've read where he said it's harder for a rich man to enter through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom to have God as king, right? And they said, well, then who can? If the rich can't, because that's important to them. At this point in their life spiritually, they are still looking up to the wealthy. And Jesus says, you know, these young ones are going to see people sinning. They're going to be led astray. But it would be better for the person who led them astray to do something else. And that's try on some fashionable stones. You ever seen a millstone? Yeah, they're round. It's hard to make a round stone. As a stonemason, I know that. It's really difficult to make a round stone, right? And people are very proud of their millstones. And you know, you drive through some parts of the country. When I was in West Virginia, there's people that would have them in their yards, and they would be huge. And they would usually have a square hole in the middle, you know, where they put the board in that, you know, caused whatever was turning it to turn. The common denominator they had, they were heavy. They were heavy. Now, I don't know how good of a swimmer you are, right? We do know that one person there can swim, Peter. We know he can swim because later in the book of John, we have him jumping out of a boat and swimming to shore to get to Jesus. Well, not everybody had the YMCA. Not everybody learned how to swim. And a lot of people feared, and maybe some people still hear, feared swimming. You know, I had a tendency to sink like a rock, so I took up scuba diving. Worked out a lot better. He said, it would be better to put a millstone around your neck. And he's probably talking about tying it with a rope, right? But I just kind of picture them trying it on, you know, like fancy collars, right? Oh, this one fits nice. And then take a long walk off a short pier where you don't have any hope of swimming. You are going to sink to the bottom, and you are going to drown. And, of course, one of the fishermen's greatest fear is drowning. So he said, you guys need to be careful. You need to be careful. Now, he's saying this still in the context of talking to the Pharisees and teachers of the law who were there and talking about riches and all of that stuff. But now he's changed the topic to them and says, you guys need to be careful. Watch yourselves. And then he says, if your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times comes back to you and says, I repent, forgive him. Wow, what a change of topic here. He's got him with riches already. I mean, we are struggling with that. You know the hardest other thing that we have to do spiritually? Forgive. Forgive. If you want to talk about somebody's trial, talk to them about forgiveness. I just did some continuing education classes and listened to this lectionary about election series about the hard work of forgiveness. Because it is work. And it's not something that you just do once and cross it off your list and say, okay, it's all over. It's tough for us and our sinful nature to forgive. And you know as you pray the Lord's Prayer like you did this morning, right? You guys were here for that, weren't you? Forgive us as we forgive each other, yeah. You know that that's tough. And every morning when I pray that, I say, God, I really want to forgive. I want to forgive like you do. Help me forgive, because that's tough, right? And then Jesus throws some numbers out there. Seven times. Now, in the Jewish mind, seven times is a lot of times. That's a whole week. That's a whole week worth of forgiveness. And if somebody comes up and says, I'm sorry, you're supposed to forgive them. And if they do it again, you're supposed to forgive them. And you're supposed to, okay, that is really, really tough. So on these two things, and we're not going to talk about forgiveness much today. I'm just going to talk about the fact that it's tough, okay? We can acknowledge, can we? Look at each other and say, this is tough. This is tough. And we may still have trouble. We may have trouble ending the wicked and the wicked, the rich, and struggling with that. But we know we all struggle with forgiveness. This is tough. But what's important here is the apostles' reaction. They say, yes, Jesus, you're absolutely right. We'll do that. You guys believe that? No, you don't believe that. Okay. Let's look at the next verse. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. What? What? Let me just read this in a newer translation. Make this easier for us. Give us a hand here. You got to help us out here. Make this easier for us. I mean, think about faith. You know, I mean, some of us are, you know, we still get caught up in the idea that faith is believing that God exists, and that's a given. That's not what faith is. Faith is understanding that somebody wants what's best for you, that God desires your best, has your best interest at heart. That's what faith is, right? And what have they seen in Jesus? Well, man, they've seen him accept them, love them, forgive them. They've seen, some of these people have walked on water with Jesus, right? They've seen Jesus do miracles. They have done miracles. What else could you possibly want? Well, we want it to be easier. We want it to be easier. Give us a break here. Come on. Why is it so hard? Some of us have heard these lessons all our lives, and there are still people we haven't forgiven. Yeah. Or we tried, maybe we quit trying. Because it seems to come back up, and you need to forgive them again. Over and over again. 7 times. Make it easier for us, Jesus. Increase our faith. Give us some kind of formula. Give us some kind of magic to make this easier. And Jesus says, you're right, I've got it. Here's a pill you can take once a day. And this will make it really easy for you to do everything that I've asked you to do. Maybe we should look at the old translation first and see what Jesus says. In verse 7, suppose one of you had a servant. Yeah, that's hard for us, right? Because we've never owned anybody, hopefully. All right? If you do, I need to talk to you afterwards. Actually, I need to talk to you right now. Just raise your hand. Has anybody here ever owned anybody? Okay, all right. Different world back then. Got to understand that, okay? Suppose you had a servant plowing or looking after sheep. Would he say to that servant when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down to eat? Would he not rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink? After that, you may eat and drink. Well, which of those two is the most likely to happen? Yeah. So he says, would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. Make it easier, Jesus. Increase our faith. First, he says, you know, it doesn't take much faith. We skipped this whole verse. In verse 6, I'm sorry, Bill. I didn't mean to do that to you. He replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry bush, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. It's not about how much faith. It's a matter of who your faith is in. And here's what it takes to have faith in Jesus. After you've done everything he's told you to do, you should say, I'm just an unworthy servant. I just did what I was told to do. Who's the master? And who's the servant? And is the servant worthy of being the servant of that master? No. You're just an unworthy servant. I'm an unworthy servant. I don't even know how the chance I got to be a servant to this master. Some of you guys are having trouble with this. All of us really are having trouble with this. Because we want it to be easier, don't we? And sometimes we want it all to make sense. Sometimes we want to see the bigger picture. Sometimes we want to know how this is all going to come out. Guess what? That's up to the master. You know what you're supposed to do? Forgive. Accept. Love. Serve. Just do what you're told to do. So when it gets hard, when it gets really, really hard, when you struggle with it, here's what you need to do. Just do what you're told. Here's another way to look at that. God is God, and you're not. And I've told you, that's the very definition of worship. That's what worship is. Acknowledging that God is God, and you're not. So after you've done what you've been told to do, the best of your ability, the best you can, here's what you should say. I am just an unworthy servant. All I did was what I was told to do. Now, you need to remember the context of what's going on here. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. What's going to happen at Jerusalem? Yeah. Is it going to be easy for him? Is he going to struggle with that? Yes. In the garden, is he going to say, increase my faith? Would he like it to be easier? Instead, he's going to say, not my will, but yours. I'm just going to do what I'm told. So this week, when you have trouble, when somebody offends you, when somebody or some memory of some offense comes up, or maybe you're in contact with somebody you've always had trouble forgiving and they've rubbed you the wrong way, or maybe some thought comes up of somebody in your past that just makes your blood boil, you know what you have to do? Just do what you're told. And then you can be an unworthy servant who's just done what they were told to do. And then you can follow Jesus' example, who did for us what we needed him to do. So simple faith. How much does it take? Well, no, it's who do you have your faith in? It may never make sense to you. You may never see it as easy to forgive, but you have to. And I'm not telling you you have to. It's Jesus telling you that you have to. And after you do it, after you do all the hard work of forgiveness, after you do all of that, you can say, I am an unworthy servant, but I am so grateful to be his servant. I just did what I was told. And your life will change. And you will acknowledge that God is God and you're not. And your life will be a life of worship. And when we take the Lord's Supper, like we're going to do this morning, it'll mean something to you. Your faith is in the Master. This morning we're going to sing a song together, the song that we learned last week. We're going to repeat it because it's beautiful, beautiful words to prepare our minds to take the Lord's Supper together.